Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Synergy. Wow, what a great word. What is synergy? Well, it's what we create when we come together. I talk about the quality over quantity of your energy. Think about better quality means you don't have to have the high quantity of things that you do and have. Because it's about what you are. The really important thing to remember about human dynamics is our power, our personal power, is either negative or positive. When we get together with people, we affect them. So they become more of whatever it is that they are based on what we can combine to create. Now, I like to use a sort of a principle of we can add or subtract. We can multiply or divide, but when we have very high quality, our effect is exponential. Okay, so let's think about this. We've got on a scale of 1 to 10, if someone's energy was at about 3 and someone else was 6 and someone else was 8, okay, that's 17 when we combine, but 3 times 6 times 8, that's 144. Well, okay, someone who is 2, you know what, times 2, 144 times 2, that's 288. But when we have high quality energy, heart and mind, 144 to the second power, that's 20,736. Do you want to be better? Yeah. If you know and understand that people are affected in a good way by you when you come together with them. Now, I was actually watching something today, a few days ago, and I noticed that, wow, this woman was trying really hard to fight with a public figure. And I thought, geez, I'm going to see this because this is a guy that usually he can hold his own and he's kind of confrontational too. Wow, she was being so mean to him. I couldn't believe he couldn't respond, and he was hesitant where he's usually very confident. And so I said to my connections on LinkedIn, I said, do you guys have an opinion about this? This woman was saying and doing inappropriate things. And I think women can get away with things like that in a way that men couldn't. So I put out some feelers asking the question, the opinion, kind of a survey question. And wow, people responded very differently. I noticed that the American people who responded, men and women, responded very differently from other people around the world, Europe, South America, Asia, Australia. Yeah, you know what? The fact is, we feel very entitled in this country. And that's not necessarily a good thing, because when women are being aggressive, they're not being assertive, their energy is very negative. And so I thought, you know, I want to make a show. I want to have a show just about this because it's a very important issue. And I know I've been telling people that for the whole month of January, I'm going to leave the phone lines open so you can call in and ask me a question. But this, I decided to interview people instead. So I'm not going to actually have you call in, but if you do have a question or a comment, then you can go ahead and send an email to thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Okay, so let's just start with a history, kind of an overview. The origin of the feminism movement was about taking control of your life as a female force, as a woman, being better, asserting your rights to be better. We deserve to be treated as equal to men. We have the right to vote. Yeah. We deserve to be heard. And the right to equal pay? We could do anything a man could do as well as a man, so why shouldn't we get as much money as them? When women came together, our synergy was powerful, and we were going to make changes in the world. But that started to turn into a fight for your rights. Not just get what you deserve, actually fight to make sure you do. Okay, now, thinking about feminism, as the history. Okay, I did some research. I found a website that kind of summarizes it. Okay. Let me get here. I want to read something. Okay. Women possess natural capacities equal to men for governing and defending society. That was ancient Greece. That was Plato. Wow, that was a while back. Okay. In the book of, hold on, The City of Ladies, 15th century writer Christine de Pizan protested misogyny and the role of women in the Middle Ages. Years later, during the Enlightenment, writers and philosophers like Margaret Cavendish, the Duchess of Newcastle. Yeah, well, we got a lot of women going on here. This is actually before it became a movement in the United States. That was in 19th century. That was the mid-1800s. Yeah, women knew what they were capable of, and they knew that they had a right and an ability to assert their independence. Okay, well, yeah, it calls for greater freedom for women as they join together, the voices demanding the end of slavery. Wow, many leaders of the abolitionist movement found an unsettling irony in advocating African Americans' rights that they themselves could not enjoy. Wow, okay. So, now let me, what was actually going on here? That it was effective in a way because passion is empowering when you say we need to fight for our rights. Yeah, anger gives you more energy. But then something slowly began to evolve, and the approach of fighting to prove our political equality to men slowly became divisive in other areas of our life. Besides the voting and the workforce, when we were home, when we were just in society doing regular daily life activities, our energy became very negative towards each other. And then when women were going to work, because they needed to prove that they could work and they could get good pay because they were good at what they did. Well, then the kids were being left home alone a lot. And now I'm Generation X. I was born in 1976. We were called latchkey kids. So when our moms came home, they were exhausted and they didn't have time or the energy to do the conventional jobs of women, like cooking and cleaning and raising children. Then divorce became more and more popular and commonplace. So marriage became less popular and it kind of came to, yeah, cohabitation was becoming the preferred lifestyle. And as women became more independent, creating a lifestyle where men weren't around as much, they were becoming tired and frustrated. And kids were seen as something overwhelming and exhausting and expensive by society, especially the female population. So then there were more and more news and television talk shows and self-help books about the stress that women were beginning to face. And it was advice on how to deal with men who were not supportive or understanding. That became a very, let's see, a hot topic, right? Then, you know what? When I was a little girl around this, as young as 8 years old, my female classmates would gather together and talk about how upset their mothers were all the time. And how they were angry at their dads. And yeah, they would repeat the things that they heard their moms say, right? At home, they would go to school and they would start repeating those things. And sometimes it was just one single word. Well, it was a pretty powerful word, yeah. Men. Ugh, men. Well, okay. That men, is that a good or a bad thing? Well, you know what? A lot of what I personally saw was women would say that when they were frustrated, just to express their anger. Now, as young girls, we would say it out loud when the boys did something that frustrated us. Ugh, men. And when we said it, the boys would look frightened, like a deer caught in the headlights. Ah, that was pretty powerful. So now, when a girl is a very young age and she sees television shows and movies where men and women were fighting all the time, and they're told that the shows from the 50s and 60s, like Leave It to Beaver, are garbage because Happily Ever After isn't real. It doesn't exist. That means that the happy family television shows from the 50s and 60s turn into shows like Roseanne. Okay. And then other shows became about how a woman's rights, how a woman fights with a man and says and does whatever she wants because it's her right. Wow, but you know what? Those words are repeated to you constantly by the women in your life as you're growing up. That actually begins to create anxiety and trust. It began to undermine trust in the opposite sex. Happily ever after isn't real. It doesn't exist. We were told by our mothers and by entertainment, the entertainment industries, that's movies and television and songs. Don't fall for happily ever after. Be ready for a man to hurt you because he will. Don't ever let yourself get to the point where you need a man. Oh man. Okay. Because when you need a man, then he has power over you, which means you're not a strong woman. So we were frequently reminded of these things. We truly believe that the only way you could survive in the world is to convince yourself that you're independent and you'll never let a man abuse you or take away your power. Wow. And then the philosophy was, don't stay quiet. Stand up for yourself. Again, fight for your rights and let your voice be heard as a woman. Okay. But the word victim kept coming up. And so again, the powerful group that women to get together to become, to create. Well, then it got to the, well, if a man is abusive, get a divorce and get all the money. Don't ever get less than 50%. If you're going to have to take the kids, then he should have to pay for them, but he still doesn't get rights to visit until he pays, right? Child support. So all these things were going on around us as young girls. And as we were becoming teenagers, we had a lot of anxiety around serious relationships because trust was slowly disappearing between the sexes. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm kind of exhausted talking about this. So today the show is going to be about what do men need? How do they think and feel? And more importantly, ladies, how can we create positive energy within ourselves when men are nowhere around that we can continue to maintain when we are with men? So when we have that synergy with the people that we love, especially the male people that we love, we will be sure that we always bring positive energy. Even when there's a problem, the positive energy is what will make the situation exponentially better. Okay, so again, when we come back, we're going to start talking to people, interviewing them, and we'll just go ahead and take a real quick break. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. So, in this last week, I had noticed that on a social but professional website, the subject of women's behavior was, you know what? I put out kind of like a survey, questions and feelers, because I have about 18,000 connections and 17,000 followers, and I wanted to see if men felt like women could get away with negative attitudes and negative behavior, and men were not going to fight back because feminism had given women power to fight, and men were not going to fight back because simply over time, women began to get more and more and more power and strength and energy, but their attitudes were becoming negative, so they didn't use that strength and power and energy in a good way. And they're, you know what? They just kept saying, "I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to deal with it." There's a joke that I like to say, arguing like a woman is like reading the terms and conditions. In the end, you just ignore everything they say and agree. Okay. But it was funny because then I got international men, right? Non-American men talking to me about this and giving me the good answers, the honest answers. And I thought the only time that American men are going to answer me is in a private message. Or some of them called me and said, "Just don't tell anyone what I said in response to your survey. Or if you tell people what I said, just don't use my name." Okay, so I actually found a very esteemed colleague that I respect and trust so much. I do appreciate this. Okay, and his name is Ian. Ian, are you with me here?
All right, I had a page that wasn't visible with the tap to speak, but I
Oh.
found you. It's good.
Okay, good. Well, as long as I can ask you this question, this is the most important question. Look, when I was talking to you about the different issues and the different topics and the different dynamics about feminism and how society is kind of evolving around what that is, you actually were having just a very candid conversation with me. You used a word that made my ears perk up and I went, "Whoa, whoa." Okay, that you touched a nerve there. Was the word was emasculation. Whoa.
Yes.
What is emasculation? What does that word mean? Just go ahead and tell me.
Well, it's my word, so it's my definition. Somebody else might have a different definition, but to me, if a woman needs a man to be the strong, capable guy, and that is what a man wants to be anyway, and that's the normal generic thing. If a woman then behaves towards that man in a way that diminishes the respect she has for him because he's not capable of doing something that's beyond his design parameters or whatever. Maybe he's stressed out and he can't cope with something and he opens up to the woman. She has options there. One is to support him, another is to lose respect for him because suddenly he's no longer strong and capable. And if she loses that respect and he feels that, he feels diminished. So now he feels even more vulnerable. That is
Thank you.
emasculation. She has taken away his masculinity, even though he's built like a huge bridge with massive resources of strength and resilience. He's
Right.
reached and passed those parameters, and the woman who's supposed to be there to support him doesn't. She
Okay.
sabotages him. She betrays him. She
There
lets
you
him
go.
down.
There you go. And so when a man feels that way, how easy is it just to go, "Oh, okay, I feel better now." How hard is it for him to get that confidence back?
Well, he's never going to say, "Okay, now I feel better." He's never going to say that. He's because he felt terrible to start with, and now he feels a great deal worse. Not just does he still have the problem that caused him to be stressed out or whatever, he's now got a new problem. He's got a wife who's betrayed him with her attitude and her lack of support and the lack of understanding. And so now he's got that on his mind. And so he's never going to open up again. That's it. He's never going to speak to his partner about anything that's going on in his life again, because he's not doing that. He's not going to get himself in that position. It's untenable for a man who knows he's supposed to be strong, has always been strong, but has been put in a position beyond his limits to find himself betrayed. It's unimaginable. So no man's ever going to repeat that process.
There we go. Okay, but see, here's the thing. I actually looked up the word, and the denotation of the technical term is emasculation is the removal of both the penis and the scrotum, the external male sex organs, which differs from castration, which is just the removal of the testicles only. So that basically is taking the entire constitution of what makes him male, and it's gone. And
Yeah.
wow, okay.
And
Now,
then if obviously that, I mean, I use it as a metaphor, but it's a very apposite metaphor. And let's face it, if two people, a couple, a man and a woman, have gone through the scenario I've just outlined, and it has the effect on the man that it almost certainly is going to have, then it's going to affect the bedroom. It's going to affect every aspect of their power dynamic, their love relationship, their friendship, their partnership. Because suddenly you find he's not a partner. He's just a provider.
There you go.
And now he feels, I'm going through all this stuff for my partner who doesn't see me as a partner. Why on earth would I continue? I'm doing this for somebody who doesn't respect me.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. But let me ask you this, though, because I don't know, over in England, I know what it's like in the United States. When you're talking about providing, a lot of what I heard growing up is you don't need a man to provide for you. Go to college, get a great job, earn all your money, and yeah, anything that a man can do, you can do just as well. So,
You see, there's a problem. There's several problems with that. One, some of which you've mentioned, but there's one you didn't mention. Okay. And I agree. I was brought up in an era when, when I was very young, women in this country, in England, they were encouraged not to work once they married because we were trying to keep the jobs open for the soldiers and sailors who'd come back from the war that the women had filled in their absence. And gradually that changed, of course, and women gradually did start to have careers and jobs, just as in America and other places. So when I was very young, it was like that. And a man could earn enough money to support his family reasonably well, even if he only had a modest career. Maybe he was a manual labourer, but he didn't need a second income. Maybe the wife had a job in a school serving dinners for 3 hours a day or something, but it wasn't like a full-time career that women had if they were married. But mainly a man could support his family on his own with one salary, even if he wasn't white-collar and well-paid. These days, of course, economics is a very complex thing, but if you have more supply, then you get more demand. And the price of everything has gone through the roof since families now typically have two incomes. You do need, in most cases, to have a comfortable life, you need two salaries, unless one person is lucky and privileged to have a very significantly better salary than average. Or otherwise, you're going to live in poverty. I mean, it's just as simple as that. The cost of living relates to the availability of the price of the money to pay for the price. And I mean, this is what's happened to house prices. Nobody can afford a house on their own.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's true here too, in the United States too. Yeah.
Yeah. So even if a woman thinks she's got a salary and she's comfortable and she doesn't need a man, actually she does. I'm not saying she's entirely dependent on him, but they need each other. They're a partnership. They fix the cost of living related to their ability to earn it. So,
how it is over there. Sorry to interrupt you, but childcare, this is what I told my husband once. I said, there's no way if I have three kids, because I have three kids that were all under the age of five. Do you know that what I made at my job, like 90% of it literally just went to childcare? What's that situation like over there?
Pretty much. I don't know the numbers because my kids are in the 30s now and things have changed, but it is pretty similar. Childcare can consume most of a reasonably good salary, and that's with government help. The government actually helps pay for that childcare, and you still end up as a second salary earner coming home with very little apart from your taxi fare to get to work or the cost of running your car to get to work. By the time you've done that, there's nothing left. But of course, there's more to going to work than earning a living. People, like men and women, both like to go to work because it's who they are. It's how they get validation. They get a social interaction at work that they don't get at home. It's healthy to go to work.
Yeah.
But to go to work and think you're going to be better off if you've got several children who need childcare is nonsense at the current prices of childcare.
There you go. Right. Okay. Well, you know, Ian, I really appreciate you talking to me about this because I'm actually a little bit later, I'm going to be talking to my husband who is from Mexico. And again, as I was doing these interviews and these surveys on a professional social website, American men just will not talk to me. But I appreciate that what you said is almost word for word what the American men that I spoke to kind of on the down low, off the record, okay? Yeah, yep. That is how they feel. And these things transcend culture simply because we are all human. And the fact that in this modern day and age, politics may change the dynamic of how certain things manifest, but that doesn't change who we inherently fundamentally are.
Correct, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And I would just one last thing I would say that those American men who won't allow you to identify their quotes. They have been emasculated, or they are afraid of being emasculated.
There
it's
you
one
go.
Or the other. So there you go.
Okay.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
you. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I'll talk to you a little bit later. I do appreciate your honesty, your candor, and your willingness to do this for me. Have a great rest of your day, Ian.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so now what I'm actually going to do is start talking to women about the key to having good, positive, healthy energy, so much that when you get together with people, whether that's your female friends and colleagues and relatives, or the men as personal or professional, right, relationships that you have with them, not even romantic, just the way that we relate to each other. I'm going to go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the secrets and the keys and the formulas for women to get really healthy, quality energy and not let those social influences of negativity and aggression and fighting toxify the relationships that we have with each other as genders. Again, my name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so today I wanted to talk about feminine power, because as women, we have a lot of ability to do either good or bad in our lives. There is no neutral energy. If we are not positive, we are by default negative. And so some people say, well, when I say, are you in a good mood? They say, no, I mean, I'm not in a bad mood, but okay, you know what? You're either good or bad. There is no neutral. There is no indifference. So when I'm telling women, you need to get into a good mood before you come together with anybody else. Because again, with the principles of synergy, you are going to affect the people in your life exponentially. Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of power. So when I want to explain things to women, I give them very practical advice, suggestions, but the question is, how do you do that? Okay. So one of the things I want to say is get yourself into a good mood first before anyone else comes into your life.